Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Productive Play Show. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and we are here this month. It's Word of Mom March, and we are celebrating 4 years, our fourth year now, on the air. And so excited because Productive Play with Debbie Dutton and Alyssa Sungar, they're coming up almost on their first anniversary. This is their 10th show. And it's so remarkable to me to watch the evolution of what has gone on here in Word of Mom Radio and with our shows and everything else. And I'm so excited because Debbie and Alyssa are the founders of ifnotyouwho.org. And there you can find over 300 activities that are free, that take 10 minutes to do, and that are going to make sure that your child is ready to go to kindergarten, because more than half of the 4 million kids going to school and starting kindergarten aren't. And I love getting to share, because you know me, I love kids. And talking kids is so much fun to me, and listening to the different activities that they will share on their show. And today's sponsor, I want to say hello to everythingfamily.net, Kaz Winters, who's the host of the Sneaky Mom Show, because like Debbie and Alyssa, Kaz knows that kids learn best when they think they're playing. And that's what parents have to realize, that kids really learn the best when they think they're having fun. They don't realize all of the things that they are being quote-unquote taught by playing a game with them or doing an activity with them. And today's show is actually not about activities. It is about that hot topic, is preschool necessary? And there is a great debate going on out there, and I'm excited to hear what Debbie and Alyssa have to say because they are educators. So here we go. It's time for Productive Play, and is preschool necessary with Debbie and Alyssa? So hello, ladies.
Hello, and thank you so much, Dori. That was a wonderful introduction. I loved how you talked about getting ready for kindergarten, how we have our website, and we are excited to be here. And Alyssa Sungar, who's another co-creator of the website, well, she's here too, so welcome, Alyssa.
Thanks for having us, and Dori, I'm so excited that you're able to join us today and that we're all doing this together to have a discussion.
Me too.
Well, today we have the special treat of having Dori with us, and we're going to discuss a few hot topics that are currently in early childhood in our parenting worlds. So, Alyssa, let's think about what those hot topics are.
Technology is huge. I said there's so much conversation about screen time and how much and what kind of technology is appropriate. A big one that I'm finding with a lot of my girlfriends right now is the ways to discipline. You know, is it a timeout? Is it spanking? But really, particularly with my son Declan, who you probably hear in the background, we're talking about the preschool. You know, is preschool necessary? When do you start preschool? I think that's something that is missed a lot. Do you start at 18 months? Do you start at 3 years? Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Do you do things within your home? So today, let's focus on, you know, is preschool necessary? And let's kind of just hear what everybody thinks. So even Dori, you know, what did you do with your children?
Well,
did you send them?
For me, I actually did. But my kids, I was a single mom since my kids were 6, 4, and 2. And my house was set up like a preschool because my background was in preschool education. So everything had a place. We did art at 10 in the morning. This was our outside time. This was our this time. This was our that time. I had their things set up on a shelf with a picture and then the word so they could associate it. You know, so when I would flick the light and my brother still sings the cleanup song, I'd flick the light and, you know, sing, clean up, everybody, everywhere.
Yep.
Clean up, everybody, do your share. And
yep.
Everybody would put their things back where they belonged and whatnot. But all three of my kids, the year before kindergarten, to me, was preschool, you know. And I'm also talking 24 years ago when my oldest, you know, or 23 years ago, my oldest went to preschool. And I did that because our school had full-day kindergarten. And so I put them in preschool in the morning because they were still nappers to get, not really for the socialization, because I did mother's groups and all kinds of stuff with my kids, but so they understood the school rules of what was expected of them at school, to have another adult in a portion of their day, 5 days a week, that they had to say yes and no and do all of their responsibilities and everything that, that school was going to give them, and not have it just be mommy. You know, so that was actually why, to me, I thought preschool was so necessary. I was fortunate that I was able to be home with my kids, you know.
And you had the education. You knew what to do with them.
Right. Right. I was just going to say, I remember my son Danny walking through the church school. They have a preschool that rents our church, and he was two. And he was holding my hand, and he was walking by. He's like, oh, I like the purple crayon, and, you know, I like this blue marker. And the woman's looking at me. She's like, how old is he? I was like, he's two. But he hung with me, and I will never forget walking down the street with my kids one time, and you guys will love this. Three trucks drove by in a row. One was red, one was blue, and one was yellow. One was like this big, big truck. One was this medium-sized truck, and one was this little truck. So, and as we were all walking, we were holding hands, and I was like, wow. I was like, let's stop. Wait a minute. We counted how many trucks we saw, what the colors were, the size of the trucks. Life is a math lesson if you take the time to do the lessons. And it's amazing the things that you can share and see with your kids. And that's why I love ifnotyouwho.org and what you guys do on that site. I love it because go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, and that's what we're trying to do.
Right. You know? But what's wonderful about your site is that you take everyday things, you know, things that you find in your house, things that are just going to happen naturally in nature, and you show parents and caregivers and grandparents and siblings how to turn that into learning. You know?
Right. Well, I know so many, you know, we talk about preschools, but the big thing is now it's called early childhood education. And we want to talk about whether that's in the home, like what you did, or if it's out of the home at a defined preschool center. So we kind of came up with some questions regarding preschool education, whether it's at a center, in a daycare center, a pre-K educational center, or in the home. And one of the first questions is, what would be a mom and a dad's top three things to look for if they're looking actually for a preschool? So, Dori, if you think back to when your kids went, what would be, like, the number one thing that you would look for to have a high-quality preschool?
I wanted a small preschool.
Okay, so the first thing you would look at.
Yeah, that was, the size of the class. Yeah, small ratio. I didn't want them to go. Some of the preschools around us had, you know, 20 kids. And they had a couple of teachers and aides and stuff, but it was just so many. You know, I wanted them in a smaller, you know, because they were coming from three, because they had siblings at home. So I figured 10 would be manageable, and they would still be able to be individuals and get their attention and things. And that way, you know, when they move to kindergarten and 20 kids now, it would be a gradual as opposed to boom. How do you feel about that?
That was one of our things. I'm just going to say one of the first things that we're going to look at was we wanted to look at the teacher's education. We really thought that the more educated the teacher is, the better they were. And in this day and age, we think that in those preschools, there should be college graduates and even master degrees in early childhood education. But then that second thing we talked about was exactly what Dori mentioned.
Right, the ratio. I mean, you know, nationwide, I guess, for really strong preschools, you know, the NAYC accreditations, they say 10 to 1. But I know being a new mom, I'm with you, Dori. I mean, I think we're all together, even smaller the better. If we can have, you know, 1 to 5, that's amazing. But I would really encourage parents to look for ratios at least 1 to 10 so that it is manageable and they can still give you that one-on-one attention. And I like Dori's point about they're not thrown into kindergarten with all of a sudden, you know, one teacher and 25 kids. You know, right. The children are getting used to it as well. Yes, I would say I think teacher's education is huge. That's definitely one thing. I think the ratio, trying to get that to 1 to 10. And I think the third item, at least for, you know, particularly for me and Debbie we talked about, is the learning environment. There's so many types of preschools out there. You know, is it Montessori? Is it Christian-based? Is it curriculum-based? Is it structured? Is it not structured? And I know that can be really overwhelming for a parent to come into when it was surprising to me when I entered early childhood education as a teacher to learn how many different types of preschool education there was. And that was very
yep.
overwhelming to me. it really, I mean, Montessori, I didn't even know what that meant, Reggio Emilia. So I think I would really encourage parents to, number one, do a little bit of research, and that's easy to do online to learn the different types, but then you need to go and visit. I mean, you are going to, once you visit a preschool or visit a few, you'll sort of see the feel of the school, and you'll see what makes your child comfortable, and they'll do well and they'll succeed in a school that fits who they are and what their needs are.
I think you can also look at, there's accreditations that are out there now, that National Association for the Education of Young Children, all the way back in 1985, they started an accreditation process. And mm-hmm. it can take 1, 2, up to 3 years for a preschool to get accredited, but that's different than a license. You know, lots of preschools have license, but that is just for the building, for safety. And sometimes in some states, it's just that they're licensed to be a company. So if you actually have an accreditation, and states have their own guidelines too. So if you have a state
right.
accreditation, you know, that's pretty good. But
right.
I would look at accreditation too if I was putting my child into something. So then we had a second question that we thought lots of parents were out there. Liz, what's that?
Is how, you know, how do you determine what is actually high quality preschool education? And it kind of goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about. How highly skilled is the staff? Is it small class sizes? High adult-child ratio? Those are some of the things that you're going to want to look at to make sure it's high quality.
Yeah, I think you also, well, I think you need to look at language-rich environment. You want to make sure that there's lots of two-way conversation between that teacher and the children that are in the class. You want lots of books to be read and singing
mm-hmm.
of songs and memorization of finger plays And you also want it to be age appropriate. I think some preschools are so gung-ho now on this, you have to know how to read before you get to kindergarten, that's not
right.
age appropriate for a 3, 4, and 5-year-old. We're still playing,
no.
you know, and we want those activities. And I think it needs to be stimulating. I think that those materials need to challenge them. And those are open-ended materials. They're blocks. They're not expensive materials. It's sand. It's water. Just keep stimulating. And the other thing you have to look for is I think you need some warm interactions between those teachers and parents, and children,
mm-hmm.
I should say. You know, you want that preschooler to come into a classroom and feel like he's welcomed and he wants to go. And I think that's something important to look at. And I think
you know,
Dori, because you did so much in the theater with your children with language. You know, was there other environments that you felt like language played such a big part for your children growing up?
Well, you know, it's funny because my middle son was speech delayed. And I had my first child was so verbal. I mean, at 17 months old, he was speaking in 7-8-word sentences.
Wow.
It was amazing to then have another child who, and they say, a lot of times they say if your first child's very verbal, you know, it's more because they are speaking for the other child. But
mm-hmm.
Rob
right.
had ear infections from the time he was 3 months old. And I fought with them to put the bilateral tubes in his ears. at 9 months old, and they wouldn't do it. They said they wanted to wait till he was 18 months old. I'm like, this is the language receptive time, so you cannot tell me this isn't going to affect his speech.
Right.
And, of course, the doctor's response is, oh, there's no correlation between speech delays and, you know, bilateral tubing. I'm like, really? So I know. You know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's not an eagle. It's pretty simple. You know, when you think about it, if your kid is hearing underwater, they're not hearing properly.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately
right.
for Rob, I was an interpreter for the hearing impaired, so I taught him to sign. His first language was sign language. And all of my kids, of course, learned how to sign because of it. So then I went to the CPCSE chair, which is the chairperson for preschool special education. He was 2.
Okay.
And she didn't even know if he could be evaluated. And I'm like, why do you have this job? So I actually found a program to have him. And he, at that point, was 2 years, 7 months. And he had the receptive language of 5 years, 11 months, and the expressive language of an 11-month-old.
Wow.
So you guys, educators, yeah. They were like, we've never seen a discrepancy like this. He was looking at pictures, and there was a lake. And he goes, reservoir. She goes, no, honey, that's a lake. He goes, no, reservoir. She goes, what did he say? I said, he said it's a reservoir. She was like, he said it's what? I said, he said it's a reservoir. You know, because we would drive by the reservoir all the time, and I would always say, this is the reservoir. This is where they keep the water where that people drink from, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was one of those moms. So I pointed out everything. But, yeah, so it was very interesting. Here he was in an incredibly language-rich environment because of his speech delay. And I started him in school the same time my son Dan actually started preschool for, you know, getting ready to go to kindergarten. So they both went to school in the morning, and then they would come home, have lunch, and pass out for 3 hours. But I, you know, and in that special ed class, Rob, it was 2 to 8 in the school that I found for him. Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a special ed class.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
you know, and
right.
Rob was the only kid there that was a pure speech delay, no secondary issues. He literally was
speech. Okay.
And by the time... Yeah, by the time he was done with second grade, he was declassified, you know, and he did that all himself. But it was funny because even through school, his teachers, you know, when he was in fourth grade, they were like, his writing skills are awful. And I'm like, look, he's now had last year the same amount of years with language as without. So how about we give it another 2 years? If by the time he hits middle school, he is really having still all of this trouble with sentence structure and stuff, let's start to panic. And, of course, my son, you know, wound up an honor student. I mean, because that was just, it was the age appropriate of the time he had language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have language from 0 to, you know, 4th grade, yeah, they're going to be, that flag's going up. But when you really only had language since the end of 1st grade,
mm-hmm.
or the end of 2nd grade, that you actually are now no longer in any special ed classes at all, give it a rest. Stop putting all the pressure on these kids.
Right.
You know, and
Rob's
I think
lucky
that
he had a mom like you.
Well, you know, I hope he feels so. Actually, it's his house that I'm at, so I guess he feels fine.
Fine.
But that's amazing, and that is such an incredible, you know, reminder of how important language early on is. Like what you were saying, you know, if he couldn't hear well until a certain time, I mean, that's the same as a young child or a baby not being read to or talked to or,
right.
you know, it's such a reminder of the number of words they need to hear and being so involved
right.
at such an early age. I mean, it starts
and, you know,
from day one.
You think about the frustration level of a child who has that kind of intelligence not being able to express himself. I mean, it was so sad to see how, you know, and I would just stop him and I'd, you know, just make him look at me like, Robbie, just look at me until I could get him back to where, and I was like, okay, and I would start signing and talking and, you know, mm-hmm. what do we need to do? And, you know, my mom was always the one who understood him. There were times mm-hmm. he would speak and I'd say to my mother, what did he say? You know, I took my breath. I'm serious. And so when my mom died, he, out of all of the grandchildren, he was the one who suffered my mom's loss the most, because it wasn't just his grandmama, it was his friend. And that's what mm-hmm. he said to me. He was like, yeah. you know, she always understood me when I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, communication is everything. That's why you don't see one-legged communities or wheelchair communities, you know, or dark-haired people communities or green-eyed communities, but you see deaf communities.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is everything. You know? So I so agree with you with the language-rich environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you know? And I love schools. Yeah. More and more schools at young ages are incorporating sign language.
Mm-hmm.
For hearing kids, because cognitively it is such a great thing because it connects everything.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Well, I mean, we're starting with Declan, and he's just turned a year. And we, have been signing with him since he's been about 8 months old. He hasn't picked it up yet, but he'll get it.
Trust me, he will. He absolutely will. And it's so funny because my kids sign I love me, you to me all the time. We'll be driving, and, you know, as we split off, and all of a sudden I'll see their hand come out the car window, you know, signing I love you. That's still my favorite thing, you know. Those little things that go on even as they get older, you know.
Right.
But
I think of the I love you sign language. Our Quinn, our three-year-old, I do the sign language for loving. You know how those two middle fingers have to be held down? Well, he'd always use his left hand to hold down those two fingers because he couldn't do it by himself. But when he finally learned to do it by himself, he was so excited that he could sign, I love you. So, and I often hear, and we forget that sign language is actually, it's the universal language. I mean, it's done all over the world. It, you know, it's not a dialect. It's the same. So,
it is a dialect. There are dialects. Because
are there
within it?
Okay.
Oh, there are. Yeah, there are. I was in Maine, and I saw these people who were hearing impaired, and I started conversing with them, and I could understand them, but then I was having a hard time with some of the signs, and I was like, you know, where are you from? And they said they were from Canada, and I was like, wait a minute, are you French-Canadian? And they were like, yes. I was like, are you signing in French? And they were like, yes. And I was like, oh, wow. You know? So while there are, so there are similarities, but there are going to be differences. It's like any dialect, you know. Languages take on their own idioms wherever you are. But, yeah, there's universal. But, it's amazing. But, again, I could go anywhere and sign with somebody who's hearing impaired, and we'll be able to understand each other probably 80%, 75%, 80%.
That's amazing. That's great. Really amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm looking at our time, and oh, my goodness. We could just keep talking and talking, but we need to wrap this up. So, Dori, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, you just make a great guest, and we just hit the tip of the iceberg of what we can talk about on your program. You're just absolutely one of the best. Thanks, Dori.
Thank you. And I look forward to, I know Alyssa's stopping by as we do, as Word of Mom March continues on the Mompreneur model, and we're bringing back guests and hosts. And Debbie, if you get a chance, call in tomorrow or next Thursday. You don't have to be on the schedule. If you have a minute and you can call in and say hi, call in, because this is just,
well, thank
we're just
you.
Celebrating this month. It's
yeah,
not,
it
it's
awesome.
Not highly
thank
structured.
You.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
so what is that for you guys? Pardon me?
Sir, I didn't hear what you said either. I said I can look forward to stopping by on Thursday for the show.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It'll be fun.
We have a lot
and
of
thanks.
Past friends.
Yeah. And thanks again for joining us, because we really just hit the tip of the iceberg. So is preschool necessary? Might need to continue. I have to have another conversation about this.
Sounds good.
Thanks again.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us on Productive Play.
Oh, you are so welcome. And you know what? This was a great topic. And I do think that is something that that you should continue talking about, because there are those hot topics. You were talking about technology. Same thing, you know?
Right.
Big, you know, how early do you bring things in? And you know what? People do want to hear what you guys have to say, because you're in the trenches. So thank you for allowing me to come and share time with you guys on Productive Play. I really appreciate it, you know? And to all of you tuning in, thanks for being here on Word of Mom Radio. We'll see you tomorrow on the Mompreneur Model. We will be sharing all kinds of past guests as Word of Mom March continues. We'll be back next month with Productive Play and Debbie and Alyssa. So please take a moment, go to ifnotyouwho.org and grab some of those activities that are going to make sure your child is ready. And have some fun playing with your kids. They won't even know you're teaching while you're doing it. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much for being here, and we'll see you soon. Go out and make a marvelous you. Bye for now.